James chapter 1 and verse 5. The next part of this is wisdom for trials. Okay, wisdom for trials. So let's have a look at verse 5, and it says, "But if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded, unstable in all his ways." So let's sort of just dissect these few verses for the moment and look at these. So, do you lack wisdom? Sometimes we do, you know. Let's be honest. There are times when we don't know what to do in a situation and a circumstance. Well, guess what? I know somebody who does. Yeah. And it's not David. And it's not necessarily me. It's Jesus. You know, it's God our Father. The Word of God will guide us and lead us, and the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God. Because you see, one of the most important things that we need to learn is that when we are making big decisions in our lives, one of the first things that we need to realize that is important is that the Prince of Peace will rule over the decision. So that no matter what happens, is that when you make a decision, for your life, you need to know a peace. And peace is that rules over your life. It brings that decision into a place of peace. Now, if you've made a decision and you are not at peace, then you know it's the wrong decision. That's fairly simple. But if you have a peace that is surpasses all natural understanding, then you know it's God. You see, God is interested in every part of our lives. He doesn't just leave us to just do our own thing and then when we get into trouble, we call upon him. No. He's interested in every day, every aspect, every moment of our lives. Remember one time when Joan and Grace were having to deal with her husband Roy and with regard to putting him into a home and finding the right place, and there were some issues that were going on, and it looked like everything was going against them because family members were trying to do the opposite to what they were doing, and to be honest, not the best. And so they prayed about it. Both Grace and Joan prayed together about it. They went in for this final meeting, and the person in authority suddenly turned the tables round and sided with Joan and Grace and just made everything work. And it was like, wow, you did ask, he did answer. These are the things that we need to realize. And so in this book of James is talking to this early church of people who have been under law and have had to pay for everything, have had to do penance for everything, and suddenly they're brought to faith in Christ Jesus when it is freely you've received, freely give. And so God is bringing people to this place of freedom and liberty in Christ Jesus. And so if we lack wisdom, then we ask God. And it says that God will give to you generously. And so we have a pattern even in the Old Testament with Solomon. When he has become a young king over a massive great nation and has to take on this great responsibility, and God comes to him in the night hours and says, "What do you want?" And the first thing he asks for, he says, "I need some wisdom to lead this people." He didn't ask for riches, he didn't ask for fame, he didn't ask for mighty things for his life, he just needed wisdom to be able to direct and to rule these people. And God said to him, because you've asked for wisdom, I'll give you that, but I will also give you. And he gave abundantly to him, you know. Not wonderful, really, in the sense of what God did. So we praise God that when we ask of God, I remember that scripture comes to mind when Jesus was saying, if you ask God for a fish, he won't give you a stone. No, a bread, he won't give you a stone, will he? He will give you that which you ask for. But it's learning to ask aright, learning to do the right thing and believe God. And so the new church is developing and growing. And God is wanting to bring his church into a deeper relationship with Father God. You see, the people at those days did not have a deep relationship with God. They went maybe every time there was a feast or every time there was a time of offerings, they went, and that was about as much as they participated in that sense. But God wanted a deeper, deeper relationship with his creation. And so this is why Jesus came. So that the Father would begin to take the weak things of this world and make them strong. You know, and even in our weaknesses, he will make us strong. Even in the things the way we think we're not capable of doing these things, God says, that's okay, I am. Yes. And the I am comes along into our lives to give us the ability, the capabilities. But we're always resting and relying upon him that he will give us that ability. Because it is not something that we have within ourselves. You know, some people are super confident. I was never super confident. As a child, I was a nervous kid. Oh yeah, I suppose it is. But you see, God wants you to rely upon him. I know there's times when I've prepared a message and got to church and God said, we're not doing that. What do you mean we're not doing it? I spent a week on this, God. Preparing it. Yeah, we're not doing it tonight. I'm doing something else. Really? And then he gives you the verse of scripture. I don't know if you've had that experience yet. And God says, well, I want you to preach from this. It's like, I've never preached from that before. And God then just says, don't worry. Open your mouth. And I will fill it. I thought, yeah, that's okay for you to talk, God, but hey, you've done this before. I haven't. And these are the challenges that sometimes we face, but this is our reliance on God. And this is where God wants the church to be. That our reliance is upon God, right? He's going to be the source of everything that we actually have on or need in our lives. He's the source of our supply. Your job is not the source of your supply. When I quit working in industry and God provided financially for us, I still don't know how he did it. I gave up trying to work it out, but I know he did it. Because I've done the numbers and it still don't work. But I'm here. Grace and I are still here, moving forward, pressing on into the things of God. And you know, when you honour God with your life, with everything, I'm going to say, because you could name things, you know, you could go through all the things that, but when you honour God with everything of your life, he will honour you. He will ensure that you are blessed. He will ensure that you move forward in his blessings. He says he will give to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So God is working through us. But the fact is that we have to realise that as we press in with God, even in our weaknesses, he will make us strong. If we abide in God, he will abide in us. And then he brings us to that point where we become more than conquerors. You see, God has created you to be more than a conqueror, right? But you will conquer with and through his strength in you. It will not be your ability. It will not be your wisdom. It will be his. Because in that, all the glory and all the praise goes to him. Amen? So verse 6, it says, let him ask in faith. Without any doubting. Oh-ho. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Yeah. Has anybody ever doubted God? Come on. You know, you know, God's to the side. He works with us. You know, thank God. I'm thankful that God just doesn't suddenly say, okay, I want you to leap right over there. He works with us, step by step, a step of faith. You know, and you make that first step. Now, that first step is a giant step, because you've never made a step like that before. It's like a baby. These first steps are giant steps. And so we make that first step and we think, oh, I've made it. You know, I made it in God. And then the next time God says, oh, I've got you a slightly bigger step. Oh, and it's still as nerve-wracking in one sense. It's still trust. You still have to learn to trust Him to that level again. And then the third step gets to be even bigger than the one and two. And God is doing this because He is expanding us. And always our faith is to be growing. Our faith is established in Christ, but our faith has to grow. We have to believe Him for greater things than we did at the first when we first got saved. Because that's growing. We expand in faith as we allow the Word of God to minister to us and to grow in us and to develop us. And so, when we didn't know Christ, we weren't double-minded. We were fixated on sinning. We weren't thinking, shall I or shan't I? We just did it. When we came to Christ, suddenly our hearts and our minds were changed. And we had to become single-minded, but on spirit, on the realm of the Spirit, in the things of God. You see, then the old man tries to get up and say, well, you didn't used to do that, let's do this. And so there's this battle that can rage on within us. And so James says, no, you have to become single-minded. You, just because something comes against you, the wind's blowing a bit hard, that does not mean you have to go in that direction. Just because there's a trial and a tribulation and a problem, and that you used to go and hit the drink, that does not mean now that you go back to that, or drugs, or whatever it was. But what it means is that you get into the Word of God. I'm single-minded. This Word will set me free. This Word will deliver me. This Word will work in me. This Word will bring me to the place where God has appointed me to be. That's what it means. And so, we are to be single-minded. We don't want to be tossed backwards and forwards. We don't want to be, please don't take this wrong when I say this, we don't want to be constantly moving church. God has a hope for you to put your roots down, for you to grow spiritually, so that you can have an impact on the area, and that God can have an impact in your life, and God can equip you to a greater level, and that together, as a team of people, because it's not an individual. It's not a platform, it's not the be-all and end-all of church. Is it? Mm-mm. It's 24/7. And so our lives are lives, and James is talking about that we are to be firm, established, fixed. Not driven about. Have a foundation. Be deep-rooted. And though the wind blows, you know, the wind might rock you a little bit, but it won't blow you over. It won't uproot you. It won't destroy you. Let us be established in the Word of God. Verse 7, let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. So if you're double-minded, if you don't know what you want, I remember one of our young people in Bentley many years ago, a young girl, teenager, just getting ready to go out into the workplace. And she'd seen this job in some care work that she wanted to do. And she'd been working there part-time at this place, at a school. And they'd put a vacancy up. she wasn't qualified for that job. And she came to me with this problem. It was a problem to her. She came to me and she said, you know, I want this job. So I said, do you really want it? She said, yeah, I do. I said, okay. I said, we are going to pray right now, and we're going to claim that job. We're going to give thanks to God for that job, and we're going to call that job in. Well, you would not believe it. Within a few days, she came back to me. She said, you're not going to believe this, but they've offered me that job. She got the job. She wasn't basic, but they said, we'll put you through the training. You know? And that was it. And she got that job. I had somebody else who came to me in the youth, a young man. And he wanted a promotion at ICI when it was established. Well, he thought he did. And we talked about it. And in the end, he came to the point where, as we talked and that, he realised that deep down he really weren't sure he wanted it. I said, well, you know, you've got to make your mind up. You have to decide whether you want this or not. And he sort of half-heartedly went for this job and he didn't get it. So I said, fine. I said, you know, you didn't really want it. 6 months went by and another job similar came up. And he said, I want this job. So we stood there together. I said, are you sure you really want this job? And he became single-minded about it. He said, yeah, I really want this job. This is what I really want. So to that day, we prayed. We asked the Lord to bring that job in to meet this young man's desires and needs. Within a few days, he got the job. He got the promotion. But you see, God wants to know that you are listening to him, you're in his word, and that you know that you know that you know what you want in God. And then God will meet your need according to his riches in glory. He can bend men's will to his will. He can change men's mind to his mind, you see. Because they're double-minded, so God just swaps their mind over for them. But you see, we have to learn to be single-minded. You see, Jesus, when he went to the cross, was single-minded. You know, he wasn't thinking, shall I or shan't I, will I won't I. He came for that purpose in time. Esther was reminded by her uncle that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And let me tell you that. We're here for such a time as this. We are here for such a time as this. You've come all the way from Nepal for such a time as this. And we are going to be effective in Christ Jesus as long as we keep Christ in the centre. You know, we're taking intake. We're going to have the intake. Amen. And it's all through that name, that Jesus Christ, and the love of Christ, that he's going to set captives free. But we have to be singly minded. You know what I mean? When we came here 5 years ago, it got to a point where it looked like we're going to lose the building. You know, and there's a battle raging here, in my mind. You know, people are feeding one side of it, and the Spirit's feeding the other side, and there's this battle that is raging. In fact, I remember when we were told 5 years ago that we could actually have this building. The congregation rejoiced and whooped and shouted, and I sat there and went, dear God, I've waited for 20 years for this. And I was still stunned by it. I didn't know. I thought, I was like, is this real? Yeah, honestly, I wasn't sure. I was like, I just can't believe this. I can now. It's taken a while for it to sink in and that, but and the day that we purchased it, yes, I was so excited that we handed the check over. That was my victory in Christ Jesus. That was the day of the fulfillment of the promise of God to Grace and I some 25 years ago. Amen. And the rest is yet to come with us, and it's going to. Amen. In Jesus' name. And again, it's about putting Jesus first. It's about honouring him. If I was to stand up here, oh, we got this building because I did this, this and this, like, God's going to say, forget it, mate. It's not because of me. It's not because of Grace. Yes, God gave us a promise. We stood faithfully upon the promise. We believed God to fulfil the promise. It took 25 years to bring us to that place. to move everything, to bring people into place, to move circumstances and situations around. But God never gives up. God is faithful to his promise in every way. He's not blowing one way and then blowing another. I hear people, and again, I'm not having a go at anybody, because I've heard ministers, oh, God's called me to this church, and then 12 months later, God's called me to another church. It's like, I wish he'd make his mind up. Because I know God's not double-minded. So somebody's not hearing God right. Somebody's going on emotions. Never make a decision on an emotion. Because our emotions are controlled at times. How, when we get up on the morning, if it's chucking it down with rain, you know, I don't, I think I'm something better. I don't want to go out. You know. If it's bright sunshine, it's like, wow, come on, let's get out, you know. So our emotions can be ruled by even the weather, let alone the circumstances that are going on in our life, let alone the wind that is blowing, the trials and tribulations that blow over us. And if we make decisions when we're not at peace, then you can guarantee that most of the time we will make a wrong decision. Romans 16 and verse 20 says, the God of peace. You see, he's a God of peace. He's not a God of confusion. He's not a God of strife. He's a God of peace. He says, and the God of peace shall soon crush Satan underneath your feet. He doesn't say his feet. He's going to crush the enemy under your feet. And I remember God showing me that scripture when I was under a lot of pressure. I had chest pains through the pressure I was under in business. And I found that scripture. And I began to, every time I felt the tension and the pressure on my chest and the pains coming, I would say, Lord, your word says that you are the God of peace. You will soon crush Satan underneath my feet. And as I kept quoting it and quoting it, I felt the pressure lift. I felt the pains go. And within about 6 weeks, God changed the circumstances, God changed the situation. I had to do nothing but sit in that situation of absolute, total trust and peace in the Lord God Almighty. His hand has to be on my life, his hand has to be on your life, and you have to let him direct you. Don't let your mind direct you, don't let your emotions direct you, because they can be easily influenced and changed. We are first spirit beings, not mental beings, not soulish people, not ruled by our bodily feelings, but we are ruled by the Spirit of God that resides and dwells in each and every one of us. And so, don't be unstable, because it says you're going to receive nothing. Be stable. So the opposite to receiving nothing is that you're going to receive an abundance from God. Come on. You're going to receive an abundance from God. This is where we're at. These are the promises. And God is faithful to every promise he has ever made. The only people that stop God's promises coming into fulfillment in their lives is you and me, when we step out of his covering, when we step out of the word of God, when we move ourselves away, when we bring ourselves into total confusion and we rebellion, and God's hand just comes off us and said, you're in rebellion. It is as the sin of witchcraft, and you will suffer. We suffer the consequences of it. I remember my last year at the church in Bentley, and I went into disobedience and rebellion with God. I'll be honest with you. And kept saying to Grace, shut up, Grace. And God told her to shut up. Said, let me deal with it. You see, sometimes it's best to hush and just let God get on with it. Just take it to God. Say, here, God, I've had enough of this. it's yours. Deal with it. And guess what? He will. He will. When I was in a state for 12 months, I just said, I'd have it, you know. That's how it was. And then just one day, boom. Just one day. I don't know what happened. I was vulnerable enough. I was telling David the story. I saw this Bible open and a daily reading on it, and it said, it is now time for me to depart. And I went, shut it just like that and moved it out of the way. So not having that, and the guy preached on Peter getting out of the boat, and I'm like, okay, depart, get out the boat. I knew what God was saying. I said, okay, Lord, when is it? He said, 6 weeks and you're leaving. And that was it. Done, dusted, out, we were gone. Where? No idea. It was a journey. But it has led us here. And there is a great harvest. The fields are white unto harvest. But the workers are few. But they're coming because we're calling and we're praying them in. Amen? Praise God. Verse 9, let's say, Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Let's just have a look at that scripture, because that is just, it just nails it. What is faith when we talk about faith? You know, trusting in God. Faith. Faith is the assurance, the substance of things hoped for. You see, faith is a substance. Faith is actually tangible in the realm of the Spirit. And so faith is the assurance, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not yet seen. Wow. That's it, you see. Amen. That's right. And so there we have faith. Is the substance of the things not yet seen. We've had to walk that journey. This building, somebody told us about it. Two buildings on a plot of land, one a school-like building next door, and a church. 25 years ago. You see. And suddenly, 5 years ago, we got told, went on Google Maps, zoomed in on Google Maps, and there it was. And our spirits leapt within us. The substance of things hoped for. We'd had faith, believing for it, you know. Daniel wasn't in the country when we had that. He weren't even, were you born? How old are you now? He was only just born, you know. He was in diapers, in his nappies. And you know, God has been working and preparing things. I thank God for Daniel and Leisha. I thank God for everybody that is committed to the work, because I believe that we are here to press through and to push through together in Christ Jesus. It's not about my ministry, it's not about Daniel's ministry, it's not about anybody's ministry, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Whose name is going to be glorified the most? Jesus. That's what it is. The reason we never called it Andrew Golden Ministries, because I didn't want to have a title in that sense. I've resisted it for years. I wanted to be all about Jesus. It's Him crucified, it's Him risen, ascended and glorified. And my faith is in Him. You know, Ecclesiastes and verse 11 says, chapter 11 and verse 1 says, cast your bread upon the waters, and it shall. You see, it's not might, maybe, could. You see, the news, the media uses could be. You know, this could happen. No. This isn't a could from God. It shall happen. It shall come to pass. This is what is going to happen. God is about to do a great work. So we cast our bread it's coming back. And do you know something? It is coming back with increase. It's coming back with increase. You see, God never takes away. He's a multiplier. When he created the earth, he then created it and said, go forth and multiply. He didn't say take away, he multiplied. God is a multiplying God. When Jesus took those 5 loaves and fishes, he multiplied them. Yeah? So come on, think about it. You know, what you got, whatever you got within your hands, whatever you got within your life, God wants to multiply it. But the first thing we have to do is, like that little boy, give it to him. Yeah, but that's mine. No, it's not. You see, we came into this earth with nothing, and we're leaving with nothing. Do you know that? You can become a millionaire, but guess what? You're going to have to leave it all behind. It's about Christ. The most important thing is that we are Christ-centered, and that everything that we do is about Jesus and glorifying him. Verse 9 says, but let the brother of humble circumstances glorify in his high position. God will exalt you in due season at the right time. God, it is God that does it. God will take you before kings and whatever people that you need to be. God will arrange those appointments. God will see that it happens. Verse 10, let the rich man glory in his humiliation, because like the flowering grass, he will pass away. You see, we're here for a season. But let's make it that whilst we're here, we are effective for the kingdom of God. That we are here to bring glory to his name. We're here for that purpose. You know, in verse 11 it says, the sun will rise and a scorching wind and wither the grass, and its flowers fall off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too is the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. What are we pursuing? What are we pursuing? Are we pursuing the riches? Or are we pursuing God first? Are we pursuing that deeper relationship with God? Are we pursuing the presence of God? And in pursuing the presence of God, I tell you what, he will never see his children begging bread. That is his absolute promise. He will be with you. He will keep you. God is, I believe that God is still in the days of blessings of miracles. The days of miracles are not past. Do you know why? Because his children need his miracles. His children need his provision, because the world cannot do it. You know, our governments are broke. They're in debt. Heaven's not. Heaven's not. And whatever we have need of, he has the ability to meet that need. And this is what we have to get into our lives, into our understanding, that he will do that work within us, he will do that work for us, and he will see things change. So important that we realize this. You know, Joshua and chapter 24 and verse 15, when he was challenging the people, and he said, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether gods with a small g, which your fathers served, that were the other side of the river. Which side of the river are we? Are we on the right side of the river? The gods of the Amorites whose land you dwell. But as for me, he says, and my house, we will serve the Lord. It wasn't we might, we're thinking about it. It was a definite, we will serve the Lord. And you know, church, the church has got to come to that place where it begins to say, we will. We will. In other words, we're surrendering our will to God's will. We're giving all that we've got and saying, God, here it is, use it for your praise and for your glory. You know, God has spiritual wealth for us that we've not yet tapped into. God has a realm of the Spirit that has an abundant riches that he wants his church to use. It is our weaponry to reach souls for Jesus. You know, today we've been out, haven't we, to the Billy Graham meeting, the Graham tour. And Matthew Gavins, who's heading the Sheffield section up, as I was leaving, he introduced me to his daughter. And I got chatting with her. You know, she's so close to the kingdom. She was literally coming to a place of tears as I talked about the love of God, the miracles of God, the healings, the trips in Romania, the things that we've seen God do. And she was getting close to tears. I didn't realise she'd been brought up in a very strict Roman Catholic background. She'd been sent to a Roman Catholic school. She's heard all the law, etc. And she's like, I don't want anything to do with it. You know, God just popped something in there today. And I thought, wow. I said to you before, just gossip the gospel. Share what God has done. And if you say, well, he hasn't really done much at the moment, then come on, guys. Let's get in there and let's see the hand of God moving. Let's see the presence. Let's see the power. So that then you can share it with somebody and it's like, here, take this. This is life. And you just give it to them and suddenly their face lights up. The presence of God comes over them. And they just suddenly realize, there is a God, and he loves me, and he cares for me, and I am going to learn to love him and to bless him. You know, in the 1930s, the Great Depression hit. Millionaires committed suicide. They lost everything in America, some of them, and they were jumping off buildings and committing suicide. They'd lost everything. No, you haven't. That was the opportunity for God to work a miracle in your life. That was the opportunity to turn from that wealth that you can't take with you, to turn to God, who will love you into eternity, who will establish you in this earth, and that God can use you to be a mighty blessing to others. And you know, if God makes you rich, well, use it to build the kingdom. Use it to show the love of God. We don't need to be millionaires. Give me £1 million and I can find loads of things that I can use it on. Very little of it will be on my life. It will be, I've got so many visions for so many things I want to do. See people touched by the presence of God, and just to help them establish something. It's wonderful. So God, the greatest riches, the greatest treasure that you can ever give to anybody is Jesus. Jesus, that's the greatest treasure you can ever give. You see, the wind and the heat will scorch and destroy the riches of this world. You can never destroy Christ. You can never destroy that Spirit of God that works within a man and a woman. It is there for you and I too, so we can blossom, and that we can portray the love, we can bring the sense of Jesus into people's lives, that we can be a blessing unto many others as we see God move. God wants you and I to press in. I just want to read Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27 and verse 20. Proverbs 27 and verse 20, and he says, Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied. Hell is never satisfied. And he says, nor are the eyes of man ever satisfied. Always wanting, always seeking. And I'll admit, I'm not satisfied. But it's in the realm of the things of God. I'm not satisfied with what I've got now. I want to see more. I want to see a team of people filled with the Spirit, moving in signs, wonders and miracles. I want to see people that come to this church, that join the body of Christ, moving in signs, wonders and miracles. I want to see teams going out and affecting this area and going into countries, affecting other countries, taking the truth of God is love into people's lives. That's what we're saved for. That's what we were created for. And so I want to see that happening. I'm committed to that. I came to Christ through signs, wonders and miracles, and I'm going to live with signs, wonders and miracles as a picture, as a reminder of the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to fade away in just doing significance, just doing nothing. I can't live like that. I won't be like that. There has to be a move of the Spirit of God, and I believe our nation is coming to that point of readiness for a move of the Spirit of God. But tell you what, it's got to start in the church. The church has got to arise and awake. You know, we're not talking about revival out there. You can't revive something that's dead, that's never been revived, right? You can only revive that which is dead, and the church needs reviving, and then we'll go out and see the harvest coming in. So we need to press in. We need to believe God. And James is saying to the church, don't look at your circumstances. Don't be blown about by circumstances and situations. Trust God. Walk by faith. Believe the promises of God. Believe what Jesus has said to us. And let's see the presence and the power of God working in our lives. Don't be caught up with the world, but be caught up with Jesus. And as we're caught up with Jesus, we'll see his presence and his power working in us, working through us, and God will be glorified in it, in Jesus' name. Amen.